chapter 2, and we'll be looking at verses 13 through chapter 3, verse 5. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 13 through chapter 3, verse 5. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Holy Spirit and belief of the truth, whereunto he called you by our gospel, through the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. Hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or by our epistle. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and our God, even our Father, which hath loved us, and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts, and establish you in every good word and work. Finally, brethren, pray for us, that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith. But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. And we have confidence in the Lord touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we have commanded you. The Lord direct your hearts into the love of God and into the patient waiting for Christ. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd speak to us this morning through your word. And Father, help us to realize that we can experience great comfort and peace and joy in our Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, help us in the midst of trials and tribulations that we may face, help us to seek to look to you. Lord, now speak to us through your word this morning, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The Apostle Paul, in writing to the church at Thessalonica, is writing to a church that had been persecuted for their faith. If you remember at the beginning when we looked at Thessalonians chapter 1 of 1 Thessalonians, we saw that Paul had come to this city, and when we went back and looked at how he had come there, it had been on his second missionary journey. He had only had three weekends to preach in the synagogues where he presented the gospel, and then he had some additional time. He stayed in the city to teach those who had come to accept Christ as their Savior, but they didn't have a whole lot of time to learn the truths of the Lord. And Paul is concerned about them because of the persecution that they've endured. And he's concerned about their walk with the Lord. This letter has been written as a letter of comfort. 2 Thessalonians is written to comfort them, and also, as we saw last time, to deal with some false teaching that had sprung up, where they did not understand the second coming of the Lord and when it was going to occur. And so he had instructed them in that, the second coming of the Lord, that the signs would come before that coming, that it was different from the rapture, that they could look forward to the rapture, and that they didn't have to worry about having missed it. We know that some of them had died from the time that Paul was there, and they were concerned about what would happen to them, and we addressed that in 1 Thessalonians. Now Paul is coming to the closing statements in this letter. And he's coming to them, and he's coming to offer great comfort, and that their hope will be in Christ. And let's just begin by looking at verse 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. Paul wants to remind them of their position. Their position is in Christ, and their hope is in Christ. And he's saying, you've had a tremendous witness already. This group of people hadn't been Christians for a very long time. Yet word had spread throughout all churches in Macedonia, through that area, about the faithful witness of these people, how that they shared their faith with their fellow citizens in their city, how they lived their lives for Christ, how they gave up the paganism that they had once been enslaved to, or the Judaism that they had once been encaptured with, and following the legalism of that of the Judaizers, and they'd given it up to follow Christ. And the word had gone out throughout Macedonia, throughout the other churches about this. And Paul is telling them, we have heard this, and we are greatly encouraged by this. But we want you to be not discouraged as people still come to persecute you. One of the things that you will find in Scripture is that when you take a stand for the Lord, you're coming against Satan and his kingdom. And when you take a stand for Christ, and when you share the gospel, and when you want to see God's work go forward as far as sharing the gospel and presenting the truth to people and setting them free, Satan doesn't like it. And he will persecute you. But the thing is, we have one who is greater in us than he who is in the world. And Paul is reminding them of where their hope lies. First of all, it's their relationship to Christ. In verse 13, we saw that. Paul tells them of their position in Christ. For God hath called them, God hath sanctified them, God hath chosen them. Now, we know that as believers in Jesus Christ, we have come into a relationship with God that God had prepared for us before the foundations of the world. Before He created anything, He knew that men would one day He would create man and man would sin. And He made a means by which man could be redeemed from his sin and come back into a relationship with God. And God did that before He'd even created us. And so before we were created, He made a means of salvation. Then He set apart that means of salvation and that Jesus would come to earth to die on the cross to take our sin upon Himself. It says in the Scriptures that He takes the sin of the whole world upon Himself, so and He desires that all men would be saved. Well, then why are some saved and some not? Well, Paul tells us that too. It's a two-part thing. God's chosen man. He's chosen man for His salvation, to come back into a relationship with Him. And those who have come are those who are walking in the sanctification or setting aside of by the Lord, and coming and realizing that relationship that is found in Christ. But also he says that they had responded to the truth and believed in the truth. So on the one hand, God makes the means of salvation because we can't save ourselves. There is no way that we can find a relationship with God apart from Christ. We can't earn our salvation. We can't do anything apart from Jesus Christ and His means of salvation that is found in Him. But He also says that we have to believe. And the mark of these people was that they had seen that Jesus died for them, and they believed. God had called them into a relationship, and they believed in Him, and so that relationship was sealed, and they were His. Now the amazing thing is that we can't lose our salvation, and that God has called us and redeemed us through Christ. And if we believe that, we're His. And so Paul wants these people to know that. And he wants them to know that as they are facing persecution. This morning I mentioned that there's a little booklet on the back table. I encourage, again, all of you to pick one of these up before you leave. It talks about a voice of the martyrs. But in there it's got a map of many countries in the world where the gospel is really prevented from being preached, or it is people are persecuted if they do preach it. And we see that there are Christians all across the world today that are persecuted for their faith. Well, is something wrong with them that they're persecuted? No. Paul tells us that our hope is in Christ and that our place is in Christ. And he's telling us that our comfort is in Him. He says, whereunto He called you by our gospel. You were called out of darkness into light, that you could be transformed from one who was in rebellion to God to one that had fellowship with God. that you could experience the love of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, as you came into this relationship that is found in the gospel of Christ. And this is the gospel that Paul preached. And he came and he presented that gospel to the people that they could be set free from the darkness of this world. Many of these countries, one of the things that I was talking to David Hocking a little bit up at the conference in Winnipeg, and he shared with me how that he speaks every Monday night on the internet, and he's going through books of the Bible on the internet. And he said, I'm reaching more people than I've ever reached in my ministry through the internet Bible teaching. And people in countries where you can't, where the Bible is really outlawed, you've got people tuning in to the internet to hear David Hocking preach, and tuning in to hear other men preach this gospel. Why? Because God is going forth, calling people from darkness into light, that they may hear and believe His Word, and that they can be transformed out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light and experience fellowship with God. And Paul is telling them that God called you according to the gospel. Everyone that's here is called by the gospel today that's a believer in Jesus Christ. You all heard the same gospel. You're not here because of church membership, and that's how you're saved. You're not here because you come to church on a regular basis, and that's how you're saved. You're not here because you do things for the church and are involved in church activities. That's not what saves you. What saves you is Jesus Christ and what He did for us. It's Christ and Christ alone. Jesus Himself said, "No man cometh to the Father but by Me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." And so we see that Paul is telling them and reminding them that whereunto you are called by our gospel. Well, what are they called to? To the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. In this world, we will experience persecution. In this world, we will have to be in constant struggle with an adversary. And Paul tells us about that adversary again in the book of Ephesians, where we said we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but rather against spiritual forces of wickedness in high places, and principalities and powers. And Satan has a whole structure where he seeks to enslave men and cause them to rebel against God. Now, we are in direct opposition to that and been called out of that situation when we follow Christ. So Paul tells us that we have been obtained the glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have experienced His character, and we are being conformed to His image, that His glory may be revealed in our lives. As you walk as a Christian, the world should see something different in you. They should see a different attitude, a different lifestyle. Paul says that really our whole demeanor should change as we walk as Christians. He deals with that in the book of Galatians. And when we went through that book, he talked about that our whole conversation is different as a Christian. And conversation there wasn't just the words that come out of our mouth, but our whole lifestyle. Why? Paul's telling us here. Because the glory of Christ should be seen in us, and His love and His righteousness and His character revealed through us. And so Paul is encouraging them that in the midst of the persecution and trials that they're experiencing, in the midst of the difficulties that they're enduring, they have one to look to that can give them great comfort and great hope. Now, because of our position in Christ, and because, as we see here, that we should be expressing the character of Christ, he says, therefore. Now, therefore, brethren, stand fast. Stand fast and hold the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, The Apostle Paul doesn't say, take over the world. But he says, stand fast. Now, what does being standing fast mean? It means that you are unmovable, that you don't change, that you're focused, that you will maintain the position that God has placed you in and called you to. You're standing fast. You're not retreating. You are the book of Ephesians, where Paul revealed to us the enemy that we fight against. It says more than once to stand fast. He emphasizes that term, stand fast, don't be movable. Today, we see that many people in Christendom are being attacked and assaulted, and the easy thing is if we just would change. I remember reading the account in Fox's Book of Martyrs of two men that were facing the fires of martyrdom for their faith in Christ. While they were waiting in their cell, the one man had a candle that was lighting their cell, and he kept taking his finger and trying to put it in the flame of the candle, and he would withdraw it back because of the pain that would be caused by the flame. And he said, there's no way I can face this tomorrow. And see, what they were trying to get them to do was, we'll let you go if you renounce Jesus Christ. We'll let you go if you renounce your faith. Otherwise, we're going to burn you at the stake because of what you have said that you believe in, that you believe that Jesus is God and that he came to take away our sins. Well, the other man that was with him told him that he should play the man, because what he said is, God will give us the grace to be able to stand in the face of the flames. God will give us the power to stand there. He did. And looked, and people, as they looked on them as they were being put to death, there were people that came to Christ because of their statement of faith and the manner in which they died, trusting God in the face of martyrdom and persecution. That's what Paul is talking about here. He's talking about God doesn't promise us that we're going to have a life of ease and comfort in this world. He doesn't promise us that we're never going to have to face things that we can't understand. He never promises us that we're not going to have to face difficulties and trials. And there will be times where our faith is tested. But we're called to stand in the Lord and to be unwavering, trusting in God. No matter how wicked the world is around us, no matter how awful the people are that are around us as they seek to stop the gospel from going forth, we're to stand. There's things that you're going to face in life. We've faced some this last year that you don't have real answers. Why? There's questions. And sometimes you may not know the answer until you get to heaven. But the choice that we have to make in the face of great trial and testing is, will I stand or not stand for Christ? Paul is telling these baby Christians, really, but they are mature beyond their number of days that they have since they've accepted Christ, because they've been willing to stand in the face of persecution. They've been, instead of backing down and giving up, they've stood for the truth, even when they didn't understand why God was allowing them to be persecuted. They had come to realize who Jesus Christ was to the point that they wanted everybody to know. And people throughout the region where they lived had heard of their tremendous faith and evidently the tremendous change that had been in their lives. Paul is telling them, keep standing. Therefore, brethren, stand fast. And how do you stand? How do you stand? He says, hold the traditions. Well, what is the traditions? There are all kinds of religious belief systems out there that have traditions. What traditions is he talking about? It's not the traditions of men. But he says, hold the traditions which have been taught, whether by word or our epistle. Now, what are these traditions based in? These traditions are based in the Word of God. Now, they didn't have what we call the New Testament at this time, which reveals to us how we as Christians are to live, and it reveals a lot of things about the church that were concealed in the Old Testament but revealed in the New Testament, about our relationship with Christ, about the Messiah, and the impact that the Messiah had in the lives of people and the transformation that would occur with those who would believe in Jesus as Messiah and that he had come to take away their sins. It's these traditions which are found in the Word of God, and then, and being they didn't have the written Word which we have today, Paul and the other apostles were teaching them as God was inspiring them by His Spirit. And so they had heard from His mouth the things that we are reading in His Word. And so Paul is saying, what I have taught you, adhere to that. But not only that, adhere to what I have written you. Now, we have one of these letters. He had written various letters to the churches. Some were in the inspired Word of God. God preserved them because He wanted that for the church. He wanted it for you and I as believers in Christ. And we are to adhere to the things that are being taught in this book, in these letters. He had two letters to the church of Thessalonica. We've talked about those in my introduction a little bit here and over the last few weeks. There were four letters that were written to the church of Corinth that are made reference to in the New Testament. However, only two of those were preserved by the Holy Spirit as being the complete inspired Word of God that He wanted to preserve for us. The others we don't have. But Paul is saying, listen to what I've said and listen to the letters I've written and what the traditions are. What are the traditions bound in? The gospel and Jesus. From the book of Genesis through the book of Revelation, there is one theme. And that is Jesus Christ, and that He came to redeem the world. It reveals to us from the beginning of Genesis that He's Creator. And it reveals to us at the end of Revelation that He's the Judge of all things, because He was the Creator, but He's also the Redeemer of those who believe, even as Paul has shared with the church at Thessalonica and shared with us as well. So he tells us, hold to the traditions which ye have been taught, whether by word or epistle. So how do we stand fast? We hold to the truth of God's Word. One of the things that you see that Satan wants us to do in the day in which we live is to turn from the Word of God and not believe in the Word of God and not hold to the Word of God. And you're seeing many places, we talked about that when we talked about apostasy a couple weeks ago, that there's apostate teaching coming into the church. And when apostasy comes, what they get you to do is turn from the Word of God to believe in a different gospel. And that's what Paul is saying. Don't do that. If you're going to stand fast in your faith, stand fast in your commitment, stand fast in your belief, stand fast in what you've done, you cannot turn from the gospel and what I have taught you. Now, our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace. Paul tells them, where does your hope lie? Where does your comfort lie? when you face trials that you don't know how to face, where do you turn? Paul says here, the word that he says has given us everlasting consolation. Everlasting consolation. What does that mean? That means everlasting comfort. He's given you comfort not just for today, not just for tomorrow, but for eternity. When you are facing the difficult things in life, realize that God understands. We may have all kinds of questions. We may not understand. Just like the Thessalonican church, they believed in Jesus, but their belief in Christ caused them to be persecuted by people in their own city, that some of whom may have been their own friends before they became Christians. They didn't understand. We may have a loss of a loved one, and we don't understand. I don't understand. Donna's with us this morning, and it wasn't that many years ago that Toby was sitting by her, and I remember Toby coming, and he said, "You know, Glenn, I would love to begin to teach a Sunday school class, and